I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18 and in verse 20. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. And therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not yet able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what had been done, they were very grieved, and came out and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so reads the word of God for our warning and teaching this evening. And we turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we read verse 12. This is part of the Lord's Prayer, the pattern for prayer given to us by our Lord. Matthew 6, 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now this petition teaches us this evening the absolute importance and significance of forgiveness in our Christian lives. Not only with the essential need here of forgiveness from God, but for us to forgive others also. But we are responsible before God to have a forgiving spirit to others. And the theme of forgiveness lies at the very heart of the gospel message, as you know. And we're going to consider its relevance to us here this evening, personally and to others. And we notice when the gospel was first preached in the New Testament age, the early New Testament church, we're in that age now, but the beginning of the New Testament age, forgiveness was a very prominent feature in the ministry. So if you turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. This is John. John the Baptist came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So here the beginning of the gospel message goes out. Coming through repentance of your sin, looking to God, and of course John was pointing to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And right back in Matthew chapter 9, we go back to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1 to 8, we have that well-known account of the paralytic man being healed by the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus emphasizes the forgiveness of sins and that very miracle. And so Jesus said in verse 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And so this emphasis upon a right relationship with God, in knowing our sins forgiven, is an essential part, as we know, of the gospel. And it had an essential priority in the setting down the foundations of the gospel message in the early New Testament age. But even if we go into the Old Testament, we see that when David urged his own soul, speaking to his own soul, to forget not all God's benefits, first on the list of God's benefits to him was the forgiveness of sins. So we turn to Psalm 103 and verse 3. He says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." And so this evening we remind ourselves of the priority that we should place upon the wonder of the forgiveness of sins, the fact that our sins are taken care of through the mighty work of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so forgiveness of sins came at the top of the list of the blessings that flow from Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5, 31, we read, "Him God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And then later in Acts 13:38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." And then Ephesians 1:7, as Paul lays down the doctrines, lays down the foundations of our faith, he writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 1:7. And so Paul is prioritizing, very clearly laying down the emphasis of forgiveness. And we remind ourselves this evening, brothers and sisters, that forgiveness is vital for us, because without it there can be no reconciliation with God. Forgiveness is vital because without it there can be no true peace in our mind, in our heart. It is vital because without forgiveness of sin, our spiritual growth is stunted, it's hindered. And forgiveness of sins is vital because without it we become hardened and bitter in our spirit. And if we regard iniquity in our heart and we do not repent of it, we do not seek forgiveness for it, God will not hear our prayers. So our fellowship with God is essentially hindered. Our fellowship with Christians is hindered also if we do not forgive them. If we do not have a forgiving spirit toward them, fellowship is hindered. So forgiveness is vital in our attitudes toward others this evening, dear friends. It's essential for our spiritual lives. Otherwise they will be undoubtedly hindered. Now, a born-again believer is a person who has truly repented of their sin. They have put their trust in Jesus Christ, and by faith in Christ Jesus, they are justified before God. And this justification that we speak of is a once and for all act, and it has come by faith. And so we're talking now about justification, because this is very important to link this with forgiveness of sins. If we turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we need to put down this essential doctrine for our assurance. We don't go in and out of salvation. But when we talk about justification, this is a justification for time and eternity in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Justification means that we are eternally secure, we are redeemed, we are secure, we are presented right before God in the very righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are at peace with God, and we have hope of eternal glory. And a Christian is justified by faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ. The Christian's eternal position in Christ is secure eternally. And so why is it then that Jesus tells us to regularly and daily, as it were, ask God to forgive our sins? Why is this? But why is this something that should be a regular action of our lives? If we are justified by faith and we are eternally secure, do we need to confess our sins? If we come by faith in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ and we are justified by faith, what is the need of continually asking for cleansing? And, well, it is to do with our sanctification, and for the simple reason that we do sin every day. We've sinned, sadly, thousands upon thousands of times since we first came to Jesus. And we need to keep short accounts with God. Christ has merited for us a total inheritance of forgiveness for all our sins. They are all taken care of. But we need to know the blessing of that. We need to know the blessing of that inheritance on a daily basis. It is something which we are reassured of day by day. As we come to the Lord and we repent of our sin, we remind ourselves of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We remind ourselves of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we are keeping short accounts with the Lord about our own walk with the Lord, and we continually are renewing our fellowship with the Lord. Our ongoing fellowship with God is dependent upon our constant cleansing of our daily sin. Now, by sinning as believers, we do not lose our salvation. But if we fail to confess our sin, we forfeit the blessing of fellowship with God. And if we are truly saved people this evening, the thing that we will value most of all is fellowship with God. There's nothing more valuable than to walk with God, to know God, to be able to pray to God as our Heavenly Father. And if we want to know fellowship with Father in heaven, then as Jesus tells us, we can have to ask Father to forgive us daily. We come as children. Father, forgive, as we forgive those who sin against us. So this is one of the reasons that Jesus is teaching us to pray daily for forgiveness. He's spoken about our daily bread. So this pattern for prayer is a regular prayer. He's spoken, give us this day our daily bread. So in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect teacher, is a daily exercise of coming before the Lord. And so when we come to the Lord, when we come to the Father in prayer, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the merit of the Lord Jesus, the merit of his precious blood, guarantees our restoration to fellowship with God every time we confess our sins. And so we read here in this pattern for prayer, forgive us our debts. So this is a daily acknowledgement here that we're not perfect. We make bad decisions. We say things we shouldn't say. We think things we shouldn't think. This isn't about misspoken, you know, it's misspeaking, as people say. The modern phraseology is now is that if you said something silly, someone says, well, it wasn't really silly, it wasn't wrong, I just misspoke. But we aren't in the business of any mitigator and any excuses. We just come before the Lord and we tell it as it is, and we see it as it is. We come with our sin. Each day we need to wash physically, so each day we need to wash spiritually. Derek Prime, in his book on the Lord's Prayer, says, sin is not eradicated altogether from our lives when we are born again. While we hate sin as never before, its power is broken. Nevertheless, day by day we still sin, and we fall short of being the people we ought to be. We do not lose our salvation, but if we fail to address sin in our life, we forfeit our experience of fellowship with God. And all the time unforgiven sin is in our life, we fail to know the happiness that God intends for us through forgiveness and cleansing. We deny ourselves. And if we come as we are and we pour out our heart before the Lord, dear friends, you will find the Lord is abundant in mercy. Abundant in mercy. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. David understood what it was to come before the Lord, just as he was. Forgive us our debts. So we know from the teaching of Jesus that the Father in heaven is ready, is willing, and able to forgive our sins in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus knows the mind and will of the Father perfectly. But then this moves on to the second part of our text, as we forgive our debtors. And the significance and importance of this second phrase is best explained for us by the Lord Jesus in verses 14 through 15 of this same chapter. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so God's forgiveness of our sin places an obligation upon us to forgive others. And one of the fruits of a saved person and a forgiven person is demonstrated in their forgiving others. Now, forgiving others is not easy. It's not easy. We need grace to do this. And one of the ways to help us forgive others is to remember how much we've been forgiven ourselves. This is the point the Lord Jesus made in the parable that we read about the man that had been given an incredible and forgiven an incredible debt. But he didn't value that. He didn't really value that forgiveness. He went out onto the street and he found another servant who owed him just a little tiny bit of money, put him in prison just for a little small debt. Because he didn't value the mercy that had been shown to him. So brothers and sisters this evening, first priority for us is to understand the importance, the significance of forgiveness, the value of it, and the wonder of it, and understand how much we have been forgiven. And those of you who have been in the way many years, and some of us have been in the way many years, and only by God's grace are we in the way. But what we find is that the older we get, the more unworthy we feel, because God shows us more of the hidden evils of our heart. And it makes us value the Lord Jesus even more. It makes us value forgiveness more. And that, in turn, should have a fruit of meekness to others. It should make us more willing and more ready to forgive others. One of the great obstacles to church fellowship and growth is a spirit of bitterness, a refusal to forgive. And if we stubbornly refuse to forgive others who have wronged us, then we have to really examine where we are in our walk with the Lord. Because if the Holy Spirit is working in our life, then forgiveness of others will evidence itself. If we have been forgiven by God, it will influence our lives. It will impact upon our lives. One of the effects is gratitude to God. And this gratitude for what God has done for us evidences itself in a forgiving spirit to others. So we read that passage in Matthew 18. But if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, as we come towards conclusion, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 30. So the Apostle Paul is teaching here in the context of grieving the Holy Spirit. And so this is a very solemn matter, this. Very solemn matter. In Ephesians chapter 4, 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed for the day of redemption. And in that context, he goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So Paul is using that argument. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's exactly the pattern that the Lord Jesus is setting for us in Matthew chapter 6. And I just want to leave this illustration with you this evening. And it relates to the testimony of Corrie ten Boom. And she said once of a time that she was unable to forget a wrong that had been done to her. She had forgiven the person in her heart, but she kept rehashing the incident and so couldn't sleep. So she really realized that though she said she'd forgiven, she wasn't really willing to let it go. And so there was an element of that forgiveness that needed to be sanctified. And finally, she went to her pastor. She was crying out to God for help. The Lord directed her to a conversation with the pastor. The church that they went to had a tower with a bell. And the pastor took her into the church bell tower, and he showed her the rope. And he said, look, when the sexton pulls his rope, the bell rings. But when he lets go, just for a while, the bell does keep ringing. It's still swinging. But because he's not pulling on the rope, there is not the energy put back up to that bell to continue swinging constantly. And so gradually it stops ringing. And he said simply, Corrie, you've got to let go of the rope. You've got to let go of the rope. And this is what we're taught in Hebrews. Wherefore, since we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And we are to lay aside those weights and those sins which so easily beset us. There is a letting go, friends. And we need the Lord to help us to let go. To let go. There are things that grieve us. There are things that hurt sometimes, that hurt our reputations, things that we bring upon ourselves through foolish ways of dealing with things. We have to acknowledge the rebuke of the Lord in those issues. But in all this context, there needs to be forgiveness. And if we are constantly worried about ourselves and our reputation and our pride and it's all about us, we will never let go. We will say we've forgiven, but we're not letting go. And so the bell keeps ringing in our mind. We keep being reminded of this problem. And we need grace to ask the Lord to let go, to let go. And that will help us in a whole spirit of forgiveness. And so the Lord Jesus teaches us this evening to pray, and this is a very searching prayer. If we're going to pray to God and ask him to forgive our sins, we need to be willing to forgive the sins of others against us. We need to forgive those that have sinned against us. And the Lord Jesus links this together. And this is incredibly challenging. We have the innate ability often to separate this verse and say, well, I'm only concerned about the forgiveness of my soul, my own sin, but I worry about that forgiveness somewhere down the line. When I've given them enough time to think about it, I'll forgive them, or it's not really important. But God says it is important. In fact, Jesus says it is part of a sanctification. It's part of a sign of our spiritual well-being that we do forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So the word of God can be intensely challenging at times, can't it? And forgiveness can be described as two sides of a coin. God forgiving us and us forgiving others. Forgiven and forgiving. That's the hallmark of a Christian. Forgiven and forgiving. But this is the hallmark of a true Christian. We are saved by God's grace, but amazing grace brings its responsibilities to us. It is like faith and works. James says, let us see your faith by your works. So that's where we are this evening, friends, and I trust it will help us in our focus upon prayer this evening, how we approach their Heavenly Father.